Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
This morning we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. We're going to camp on one verse there. Somebody told me that Dale and Audrey, wave your hands there, celebrated your 67th anniversary today, or not today, this week. I can barely count that high. Yeah. That's amazing. That's awesome. We celebrate with you. I love it when a plan comes together. And so I've been preaching on trusting God, and so we've been trusting what God says, and so we've talked about how God is who he says he is, and God will do what he says he will do, and I am who God says I am, and I can do what God says I can do. And today we're going to look at the last one, which apparently I still missed the typo. The Word of God is alive and active. Our next series, we're starting next week. We're going to remind ourselves about some of the things that God tells us are powerful in our lives. We're going to look at the power of persistent prayer, the power of the gospel, the power of repentance, the power of positive confession. But today we're going to take a look at the power of the Word of God. So this is either how you look at last week's or the end of the last series or the beginning of this series. So today we're going to look at the power of the Word of God, because the Word of God is alive and active and powerful. This is what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says. For the Word of God, New International Version, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges our thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Or the New Living Translation puts it, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes our interior thoughts and desires. The Word of God is alive and active. The Word of God is alive and powerful. And I have found this to be true. You may notice that the most times, not every time I speak, but most times I speak, I'll walk you through a passage of Scripture. The reason why I do that is I believe that the Word of God is alive and powerful. And it has the ability to speak into our lives right where we're at, and allow it gives us the power, because God is behind his word, to change. I've known people who the Word of God is alive and powerful if you own it for yourself. See, I've known people who know the Bible inside and out. For a long time, I was right beside Carleton University. They had some people in the religion department that they taught the Bible, but they didn't believe the Bible. The Word of God was not alive and powerful for them. I've known people who know the Bible, but they don't follow what it says. James describes that kind of person as, in James chapter 1, verse 23, for if you listen to the words and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. For people, this is like this. The Word of God is neither alive nor powerful in them. Here, the Word of God is just something you look at and, okay, that's nice information, and be dismissed. Your relationship with the Word of God will determine the power of the Word of God in your life. How you walk with the Word of God will determine how you access the power of God through his Word. If you want to hear the voice of God, then you need to walk in right relationship with the Word of God. If you want to know the promises of God come true in your life for peace, for strength, for forgiveness, for hope, you need to walk in right relationship with the Word of God. My prayer for you is that when we get finished today, that you'll see where your relationship with God is, and then you'll make adjustments as necessary. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. I thought the best way to get at describing different kinds of relationships with the Word of God is to tell you a little bit about my journey with the Word of God. And some of you will see yourself in various stages of my story. My hope is that my story will help you to continue to grow in your story. From my earliest remembering, I grew up hearing the stories of the Bible. My mom and dad had this big green book, and it started in Genesis and told the stories from the Bible in ways that a kid could understand, from Genesis to Revelation. And each day they would read a story from the Bible, and it'd have three questions at the end. Were you listening? And could you answer a question from the story? I grew up getting to know the stories of the Bible, and I got to know some great Bible stories. And the Bible has some wonderful stories in it. Hearing the Word of God at that time was about knowing the stories. It was a great storybook, and that's a wonderful place for kids to begin. It was certainly good for me as a kid. As I grew a little older, the Bible became more about virtue. It told me about what was right and what was wrong. I came to know the Ten Commandments, but more than that, as I looked through the New Testament, I would see all kinds of commands. Be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. The Bible became a book of virtue for me. In it, we learn what was right and what was wrong and how to live. In it, we learn what God thinks, what is good and what he thinks is not good. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's very good. Virtue is a good thing. But it's not the main thing. I didn't stay there in my spiritual journey. I started to use the Word of God to prove that what I thought was right and what other people thought was wrong. The Bible became kind of a fact book in which I could win an argument. Maybe this phase is a phase that everybody has to go through. I don't know. The Bible talks about, you know, children and young men are young adults, essentially, and older people. And the way you tell a young adult is kind of they're passionate about their faith, and they want to talk about heresy and show how it's not true. And that's a phase that some people go through, many people go through. I know some people get stuck there. I got to know the Bible very well in that phase. I could show you where in the Bible where it said what I thought was right. I went to Bible college, and they tested the incoming class, and I knew more about the Bible than most of the people in the incoming class. There is something, though, about knowledge, even biblical knowledge. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffs up while love builds up. When being right is more important than loving someone, you know that something has gone wrong. If you can't speak truth and love, you have to ask yourself, should be really be speaking what I see as truth? Some people never grow out of this stage, and it grieves me, because they go around using the Bible as a club. The Word of God is always, always good. But the way some people use it isn't good. In fact, the Word of God can be used to harm people. You might even remember Jesus in his temptation. How did Satan approach Jesus? Satan quoted scripture to him to tempt him away from the ways of God. If Satan can use scripture, it can be used wrong. Well, back to my journey. I started to get interested in the question, is the Bible reliable? I read popular apologetic books of the time, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. I investigated the Bible, and I found to my satisfaction that it is indeed reliable. Now, there are some personality types that don't need to go through this phase, or some that just said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And if you're that kind of person, I am so happy for you. There's others of us who have to work and figure things out and mull over things and figure out what's true, what's not. I found this wrestling to be uncomfortable, even soul-shaking at times. I was wrestling with issues of, you know, is the Bible inconsistent? How does this work? I don't even remember what the issues were at the time. I just remember that I went through this phase, and it was a struggle. And if you see young people going through this phase, honor that struggle. The struggle's not wrong. Doubt's not wrong. Just keep on encouraging them to keep investigating. God's got it. If you're in a place where you're wondering about the trustworthiness of Scripture, there are all kinds of resources that you can get to work through that as you walk out your spiritual journey. Well, I went from there. I went to seminary, and it was not the most friendly place for my spiritual life. The Bible was a textbook. The Bible became something between a philosophical and a theological textbook to be understood, to be parsed, to be argued about. It came as a book of literature, and it was supposed to do literary critique on it, and it's a book in another language, so we had to learn the sense of the other languages. And I'm thankful for what those things taught me. I'm thankful for the education I got, and I learned how to think. It was very helpful to be able to think theologically about life. But in spite of being around the Word of God all the time, my spiritual life was dry. If all the Bible is a textbook, it doesn't seem very alive or powerful. So you'll notice up until this point in my life, the Word of God was basically about information. You know, what's right and wrong? What are the stories? What are the arguments? I read the Word of God faithfully. I believed that it was authoritative in faith and practice. I knew it, or at least I knew it as information. And I think most of us start there. But we need to go deeper than that. Because what I've described so far, it doesn't sound a whole lot like Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. I was getting around the edges of this verse, but I wasn't really living it out. Well, I graduated from seminary and became the pastor of Bruce Mines Wesleyan Church. And I was young and inexperienced and way, way, way over my head. There I had to preach two sermons a Sunday, Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. And those poor people. I sounded like a commentary. The sermons were dry. I knew I wasn't connecting. What was going on here? I could see something was wrong, and so I was praying about it, and so I started to preach the principles of the Word of God. And here's principles to live by. There are certain ways that God says we should live, and if you follow these ways, life will be better. If you don't follow these ways, life will be worse. God's Word became basically a handbook for living. I still believe in following the principles that come out of the Word of God. God designed life to be lived in a certain way, and if you go against that way, life becomes much harder. And the Bible is full of principles, but some people are inclined to make these principles scientific formulas. If you plug in A plus B, you'll always get C. And life doesn't work like that. A principle in the Bible: a soft answer turns away wrath, is what Proverbs says. A soft answer turns away, helps people you're talking to not be angry. And that's a good principle. A lot of times a soft answer will turn away wrath, but not always. Sometimes you give a soft answer and people are still really, really angry with you. People who don't go beyond the Bible as a handbook for living often think that if I do the right things, then life will go right. I have found that over the years that A plus B does not always equal C. Just because you do all the right things doesn't mean that that life will be easy or trouble-free. It does mean that you can walk in life and there's some things that will come together that wouldn't otherwise. Life is a handbook. The Bible is a handbook. Well, about this time, God in his providence brought some people into my life who were teaching about spiritual warfare. And as you know, when you're tempted by three things, right? The world. We live in a world where that takes very little thought of God, and often the pressure of the world says, don't live for God. Temptation can come there, peer pressure. The world, the flesh, there's something inside of us that's bent because of sin and wants to do what's wrong, and temptation can come from there. But the Bible also says that Satan is a roaring lion roaming to and fro, seeking who he may devour, and he can tempt us as well. He and his demonic hosts have a way of tempting us, of doing things in our lives that can make life difficult for us. And discerning what's happening in life is spiritual warfare, and what's just life and where it's coming from is an issue of discernment. But I learned to effectively engage in the spiritual battle with the Word of God. See, the Word of God and the power of the cross are the foundation for winning spiritual battles. God has become more than a premise to be believed. When you're dealing with spiritual realities, then you need a spiritual book, something that's more than a textbook. You need something that speaks into the spiritual life. And the Bible became that for me. So when Paul describes the armor of God, he describes, you know, the shoes of peace and the breastplate of righteousness. But the one offensive weapon he gives is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he used the Scriptures to parry temptation. In spiritual warfare, Satan's power comes through the power of the lie. If you put faith in what he's telling you, just as a way of messing up your life. And then what will happen is Satan, being the great accuser of the brethren, will come and he will say, well, look at how bad you are. You really messed up. Your only hope for peace lies with God and how he has revealed himself in his word. Satan will attack your identity. If you've given your life to God, and Satan will come and say, you're not a child of God. God really doesn't love you. How could he love you if you've done that? And he will lie to you. But the Bible comes along and says, you're forgiven. You're a new creation. God is making you new, transforming you into his image. You are loved by God. The Bible tells us what is true, and when we own that, it has a way of affecting our lives. Well, it wasn't long that that when I was that I was introduced to a couple of people who were using scripture in biblical counseling. Now I often hesitate to use that word because I know I've heard of biblical counseling and I've heard of what some people have done in it, which is neither biblical nor real good counseling. But there is a kind of counseling where it brings the truth of God's scripture and allows you to see your own heart and allows you to see how God wants to transform your heart. And that has a way of moving into relationships. It has a way of dealing with the tight corners of life that you struggle with. And so I had some people come into my life that understood the ways of the heart because they understood who God was and how he made our hearts, and they understood that through scripture. Repentance became a wonderful thing for me in that time. Repentance is not somehow groveling, I'm so bad. No, it's saying, I was going the wrong way. Lord, forgive me. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to head towards you. And in heading towards you, you will find that the Bible heals the wounds of the heart because God is faithful to his word. I was influenced by, that has influenced my preaching in profound ways. I used to speak and primarily try to speak to people's minds. If people just believe the right things and everything would go well. Now I try to preach in a way that doesn't violate your mind because if it doesn't make sense, it's not going to stick. But I preach in a way that aims to transform your hearts because God is at work in your heart. I'm preaching in a way that says that God wants to move inside of us. Try to stay away from cliches. And I hope not to create a church of biblical scholars, although biblical scholars would be great. As you know, I'm big on education. But it's really important, not only that you know the Word of God, but your life is transformed by who God is and his Spirit working in your life. And often God's Spirit does that by using the promises of his Word, because the Word of God is alive and active. See, the whole point of the Bible is hearing what God has to say by his Spirit in your life. The Bible is a vehicle by which God wants to speak to you by his Spirit. Another step in my spiritual life was to take the Word of God and mull it over. Sometimes I would use Lectio Divina, where you read it over in a certain pattern for three times through a small passage. What's it saying? What's standing out? What does God seem to want to say to me? What's this telling me about God? What's this telling me about myself? And as I allowed the Word of God to mull over in my mind and in my heart, it has a way of showing us our hearts. And that's an amazing thing. God has a way of speaking, and we start to hear his voice in his word, and we start to get an idea of the tone of God's voice, if you would. So when God starts to speak on the inside, you just have the sense, oh yeah, that's kind of the tone that I'm getting from Scripture. When you're reading Scripture to hear what God has to say, it has a way of speaking into the core of your being. Well, that's part of my journey with the relationship with the Word of God. Your journey may be different than mine, although I hope that you will see at least parts of your journey in mine. But primarily relating to the Bible as a storybook or a book of virtues or even a handbook for living doesn't quite get to where it's alive or active. Back to our text. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It's not exactly a comfy metaphor, is it? Why couldn't it say the Word of God is like a teddy bear, right? The Word of God is like a sword, a sharp two-edged sword. It's a the word that's actually used for sword there in the Greek is like a dagger. It's very precise. And what the Word of God does is it exposes us. It accurately and actively exposes us. It judges our thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. I told you about my evolving relationship. I went through this journey where in a lot of my journey, I was, in relationship to the Word of God, I was its judge. You know, I get to say, you know, is this true? Is this right or wrong? Oh, well, this is nice. This is good. And I stood over the Word of God and said, okay, I'll take this and this, and I won't take this. Then, in those phases, Scripture was, it was one of those things where I stood over it, and now I've come to understand that Scripture stands over me. And the question I always ask is, do I have authority over it? Well, and I'll hear this all the time. You know, the Bible says this, but I feel something different. Well, the Bible says this, but, well, I think something different. And people, I get interpretation, right? Even if you love God with all your heart and you've got Christ renewing your mind, sometimes we're going to take a look at the Scripture and take a look at it a little differently. However, you can't make the Bible say anything you want it to say with integrity. Anybody who does that is standing over it and saying, oh, I'll pick this and not this. The question I have to ask you is, do you have authority over the Bible, or does it have authority over you? The Word of God has become my judge. It's become, when I look at it, it has, you know, what does it say to me? It calls me to follow. The Word of God becomes a mirror, and it shows me my heart. It shows you your heart. It exposes our lies and says, that's not quite right. And oftentimes I've found, as I've grown in my Christian faith, that, you know, I've got most of it right. God, can't you just deal with the 5%? But he shows me my heart through his Word. And if you see the Word of God as your authority, you will see the world through a different lens. The Bible will give you a very different lens on which to view what's happening in the world now. It'll give you a different lens when you look at people. It'll give you a different lens when you look at yourself. And my encouragement to you is let it have authority in your life. Because when it does, it becomes alive. It becomes active. It becomes powerful. The promises of God come into play. The Spirit of God works through his Word. It's to bringing about his promises. You can rely on them because you can rely on God. When you're reading God's note, take note of what it affirms and what it calls you to shy away from. Take note of what it says about God and what it says about you. Take note of what it says that God wants to do in you. Listen, I know that the Bible has been used for all kinds of evil purposes. And so some people say, I'm not going to use it. But if you hear the Spirit of God, and you get to know the Word of God, and you see the heart of God, then you start to see that the promises of God for you are good. And that God's heart towards you is good. He looks at you and says, I love you. My prayer is that we would become a community that sees the Bible as authority over us, where it exposes our heart so we can walk towards what all that God has for us. So I encourage you to read the Bible. I encourage you to memorize it, especially those places where your heart is a little broken and you need the promises of God's word in those places. I encourage you to meditate on it, mull it over, think about it, allow it to permeate your heart and your mind. Listen for God's voice in it. What is God saying to you? And as you continue to do that consistently, you're going to find the power of the word of God. It's alive and it's active in you. Let's pray. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, because we follow it, we don't believe that everything will go right. But we can say, even when things go wrong, it is well with my soul. For because of your words, we have the promise of forgiveness. We have the promise of new life. We have the promise of answered prayer. We have the promise of God who goes with us, even in the dark valleys. We have the promise of mercy and goodness following us. We have the promise of the cross of Christ being activated on our behalf. We have the promise of your favor that is rests upon us. So I thank you for your great and precious promises. Help us to hear and respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.